everything is a little bit different, but you know, everything prepares him for the future. Everything makes him future proof, you know, and I think that's what's important for our kids.
Yeah, I like that it's something so fresh and new, but you're still, you know, like you said, you're on the Plaza de Fruta. You're still plugged into the community. It's not removing these kids to some resort somewhere where they're never going to connect with the real world. And I think that's amazing.
You're right about that. You know, for us, community is so important. You know, the more I look at it, you know, we've had kids who didn't know how to catch a train. You know what I'm saying? That's a foreign kid who didn't know how to catch a train. And the Portuguese kids were coming on a train every day. So the Portuguese kids took them and showed them how to catch a train, and the kid felt accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So things like that, little things in the community mean so much. You know, we eat the prato dia. So we have prato dia from local restaurants. So the kids can go and they try different foods and they experience it. And the restaurant is glad to see them because, you know, we're part of the restaurant.
Olá e bem-vindo! Welcome to The Simple Life, an insider's perspective into Portugal. We already know about Portugal's amazing weather, food and people. In this podcast, we go deeper and meet the real people who make this country so wonderful. Dylan, who has made his life in Portugal, shares an insider's perspective into what makes Portugal the unique, beautiful and amazing country that it is. Join him and his guests every week as they shed some light on the incredible people, culture, history and lifestyle that makes Portugal so appealing. A country where everyone feels like they belong. This podcast is sponsored by Portugal Realty. Welcome to The Simple Life.
On this week's episode, I'm joined by previous guest, Tim Vieira. Originally from South Africa, once shark on Portugal's Shark Tank, an entrepreneur and the founder of Brave Generation Academy, a groundbreaking schooling system for secondary education. We discuss, amongst other things, rugby in Portugal, how BGA was established and what the future holds, and how anything is possible here in Portugal. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of Portugal, The Simple Life. And I'm delighted to be joined once again by my South African brother from another mother, Tim Vieira. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dylan. Great to be back and see my brother from another mother just on the other side in Obidj. Very, very
exactly.
Nice. Great to
exactly.
Stuff.
How's it going?
Going well, eh? Been super busy. Lots going on, you know. Our rugby team's winning again. And then when I say our rugby team, I'm saying the Springboks and the Portuguese rugby team. We just beat Canada on the weekend.
It's a big win for Portugal.
Big win. And now we play Japan this weekend.
That's so tough.
Another tough one. But great to see. And then, you know, it's been incredible weather out here in Portugal. I think this winter has been really lovely. I've got the kids going to the beach today. Can you believe it? Yeah. So unbelievable. So it's really good stuff. So good stuff.
All good when the sun is shining. If Portugal had to play South Africa, who do you cheer for?
My heart's big enough for both, but realistically, I know, you know, who will win. So I'll have to, you know, but it might actually happen because we might be in the same group for the World Cup. Portugal might actually get there. Yeah,
it would be amazing.
Yeah, we're two wins away from being in the same group as South Africa. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable.
That would be awesome. Two wins
away. Yeah.
How many games?
I think we have to beat Romania, and I think it's Russia. We'd already beaten Russia. It's Georgia, and we lost by 1 point last time to Georgia. By one point.
I remember that.
And now, if we beat them this time around, we actually will be at the World Cup, which would be amazing. Let's see.
Okay, so that doesn't include the Japanese game. That's games after Japan.
The test. It's just a test. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. That'll be amazing if we qualify for another World Cup.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Tim, we've had you on the podcast before, so we know a little bit about your background with Portugal. But I mean, and you explained how you sort of came to Portugal as a kid and you've got that Portuguese background and you've been here for a long time. But maybe, I mean, a question that I sometimes ask people is how has Portugal changed you in the time that you've been here?
Yeah, I think like what I can say, Portugal has done. It's made me understand that we really are in the center of the world, and that we don't only want to do stuff for the country we live in. We actually want to do things that are bigger than us, you know, and bigger than the country we live in. And I think in South Africa, sometimes we forget that because it's a big country, lots of population. We sort of, you know, right at the end of that of the continent. But yeah, in Portugal, we're right in the center of the world. And if you look at the map, we're in the center. You know, we're 6 hours here from New York, 2 hours from Paris, 2 hours from London. And we actually can think bigger than Portugal, you know. And that's the problem that we have. We come here, we like want to do stuff in Portugal, and then we get a little bit upset because obviously it is bureaucratic, I'll be honest. And bureaucracy isn't a great thing because it, you know, it breeds corruption and it breeds other issues. But if we think about it and say, okay, we'll be here in Portugal, get through on the minimum bureaucracy, but then start thinking globally. And how can we even, you know, nowadays you've got nomads coming out here and just being based out here, and they have no bureaucracy because they just sit here, work for companies in other countries, and get paid, you know. And they got 300 days of sun, great food, low cost of living compared to where they were, and have the simple life, which is amazing, you understand? So all of a sudden, this remote work, nomads, doing something, yeah, manufacturing, yeah, but even selling it out into vegan stores around the world or whatever it may be, is really possible, you know. And I think we get you and we say, oh, what kind of job am I going to get in Portugal? Well, you know what? Create your own, not for Portugal, but for the world. Come to Portugal and think bigger, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what's happened, you know, even with my latest project, it's definitely about that. It was definitely about, you know, testing it out in Portugal, doing the pilot here in Portugal, doing another, I think it's 14 pilots in Portugal and getting them busy going. And they're all, you know, really going through strongly. And it's been incredible, the response we've had. But then, you know, we've already now gone into Maputo, we're into South Africa, we're going into the US. We've got plans in Argentina, in the UK. And all of a sudden it changes, you know, and you think about it and you think, okay, I've got to do some stuff to get through here in Portugal. But then the whole scope and vision of the project changes. And at the same time, you know, if you've got one of these kind of global projects, the best place to be based in the whole world is probably Portugal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So that's how it's changed me.
I want to talk about your project. No, it's all good. I want to talk about your project. We're going to get there because it's super interesting and one of the reasons why I wanted to do another podcast episode with you. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you, it's quite interesting because it's kind of like what Portugal was built on. You know, there's that philosophy of Desin Khishkar, you know, that in the Portuguese DNA, there was that find another solution, find a way, go out and explore, go to these places, these territories uncharted. I mean, you know, I know like sometimes at government level, we've got a bit of, we're a bit stiff, but there is a thing in the Portuguese DNA of trying to find a way and trying to be creative. And so it seems like this new wave is tapping into that old school belief of we can do anything.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, Portugal, this Dinarascar, which is, you can't translate it to English, but maybe it's like being resourceful and having a plan A, plan B, plan C. And the best way I can say it, you know, is like if you receive machinery and they forgot the manual, the operating manual, the Portuguese will switch it on, press buttons, learn how to do it and do it. You know, and then maybe if it was a German, he wouldn't switch on the machine. He'd wait until he receives that new manual, et cetera, et cetera. The Portuguese, you know, they sort of start to tinkle and find and move forward. And I think that is in our spirit, in our DNA. And I think finding a plan A, plan B, plan C is definitely there as well. And I think also what's incredible about the country is you know, if you want to try something, there's a lower burn rate, okay, on your cash, on your investment, than in some other places. All right. And then you see it, you know, during Web Summit, I went through to some of the dinners and all that, and you listen to Germans, Swedes, Americans nowadays, like talking about how amazing it is to be based out here and the burn rate, et cetera, et cetera. And the talent pool, and the talent pool is getting super thin now, because if you're in the software design, you basically, you don't have a job if you don't want a job, okay? Yeah. And prices have just been going up, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's a huge demand. And I even saw people, like for McDonald's, there was a billboard going, well, towards your area there, but by more towards Verdes in that area, looking, you know, a billboard saying, come join our team. They can't get people to work there. So, you know, it's unbelievable to see this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a great place if you like entrepreneurial for the world. Okay. If you want to be entrepreneurial only for Portugal, it's a tough place. You know, it's taxes are high. You know, there are incentives, there are this, but taxes are high. If you're a foreigner just wanting to come live here, great, awesome, really good, because you've got huge benefits if you're not producing your income here. You know, you've got great tax rates. You've got this non-habitual visas, etc. So it really is good. And I think Portugal is like at the moment in a situation that we might actually start getting lots of refugees. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only thing is it's going to be financial rich refugees coming through from France, from Scandinavian countries, from Germany, from the US, where people are actually going to think, you know, I'm going to go to the simple life. I'm going to pay less taxes. I'm not going to do much, but I'm going to love life and I'm going to enjoy it. And maybe that's why we've got a lot of people coming out here, working less workers coming out here. So, you know, we're in this desperation to try and get more workers and so on. But, you know, we're attracting really high net worth. We are attracting people with big networks around the world. And that's been one of the problems as well. You know, even in property, like high-end property, there's nothing available. You know, there's the demand of guys flying in are still there and buying, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, obviously you're in the market and, you know, there's no more golden visas. But there is. There's other ways of getting golden visas. There's, you know, apartamentos turísticos. There's this, there's that, other regions. You've got the Silver Coast. You've got Alentejo. You've got all that still going. And then you've got D7 visas. You've got a lot of ways to come to this place. And if you're looking for security, if you're looking for sun, you're looking for good people, you're looking to be human, you're looking for, you know, no police state, well, then this is the place, you know what I'm saying? So it's still got a lot of positives, but, you know, the only negative I sometimes think is, yes, bureaucracy. If you're thinking of small, but if you're thinking big, you
can do it. Really,
it doesn't really bother you again, you know?
Yeah, we had a guy on the podcast. He does Pedro. He does those Hunter boards, you know, the electric skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying they've sold to one Portuguese person. You know, the rest of their market is all over. And if they had to have relied on the Portuguese market, they'd be sunk because there isn't a big enough market for it. So that's it's interesting to see that dynamic. But how far your reach can be if you want it to be, you know, you can do anything and go anywhere with the technology that we have these days.
And that's what you got to think. And you got to also understand that no one looks at those boards, Hunter boards, and thinks, oh, I don't like them because they're Portuguese, you know, or no one says, oh, I'm not going to buy that because it's Portuguese. And that's also a big thing, you know, our country branding, we're really going up in levels.
Yeah.
Okay, in ease of doing business, maybe not as fast as we should go up, but in our brand power, in people loving Portugal, it's really, really good, you know. Even Ronaldo going back to Man United has made people love him more, you know, so I think it's all those kind of things. You know, I'm a Spurs supporter, but at the moment, I don't mind Man United winning, especially when he scores.
I reckon he's regretting that decision at the moment. It's not looking good.
No, but he's been in tougher positions. If anyone's going to turn that thing around, it would be someone like him, man. You know,
yeah.
So let's see.
One of the things that that a lot of our international listeners might not know about you is that you were on the Portuguese version of Dragon's Den. I mean, does this give you an insight into the talent pool here and what people are capable of when you were on that show?
Yeah, so I was on the show called Shark Tank. So in Shark Tank,
sorry, it's like Dragon's
Den. American version and all that. And yes, it did. It opened me up. It got me, you know, connected to that whole ecosystem. And I can say that probably in the last 6 years, I was maybe one of the most active people in that ecosystem, from investing, but also in networking and opening doors and You know, I launched a Be Brave Association where we use mentors, and we've got about 700 people that belong to my Qashqai's Curry Club that are there, actually retired out here, but are willing to help these new companies. Hunter Skateboards was one of the guys that spoke to me, you know, all these kind of things. And it's been incredible to see the change of, you know, just 6 years ago, everyone thought they could only get money from a bank. And now they actually have understood that there is other ways of getting capital to make dreams come true and to try things, etc. So, yeah, it definitely got me into that ecosystem, definitely opened doors. And, you know, some investments worked, many didn't, more don't than do. But it was overall, I wouldn't change a thing. I think I learned a lot, made lots of contacts, and understood the ecosystem, like I said, maybe a lot better than many others, you know. So it's not a perfect ecosystem. There's good stuff, negative stuff. I think it's an ecosystem that is tough to get investment, but it's getting better, and there's more VCs coming in. There's more, you know, foreigners coming in, all this kind of stuff. So it can only improve in a way, you know. So now we also, at the moment, we governments kind of thing, but I think any new government's also going to really go onto the entrepreneurial side. They're really going to bet on it because it's the only hope of creating wealth. And if we don't do that, all we're going to do is have higher taxes, and that doesn't bring in more people. That doesn't make better life. So I think it's probably we're at a crossroads that could actually be good for the country in a way, where we could resolve a lot of those options that were issues that we've been talking about bureaucracies, et cetera, you know. So let's see how that comes up. But I am positive.
All right. I mean, you mentioned the Brave Generation mentorship program. I'm guessing this is kind of where Brave Generations Academy kind of started from. Tell us a bit about Brave Generation Academy, how it started. I know you used your boys as the guinea pigs.
Yeah,
to start the whole thing. But just tell us about it. Tell us what it's all about.
Yeah, so just a while back in 2019, I sort of like did this trip around the world, and we did this like really through Russia, Mongolia, you know, China, and all that on the train, and then a few other countries, Japan, Taiwan, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and we got back here. And I just thought there had to be something better than traditional schooling, you know, because I got there and my kids were in a really good school, nothing wrong with the school. But, you know, they would come in at 8:30 and then stay there until 4:30. And their day was taken, and they didn't have time to do their passions or their purposes that they wanted to do in life. You know, my kids were into rugby, they're into music. There's quite a bit of stuff they like to do. And I thought, okay, so how do I change it? And that's when I decided, okay, I'd already been trying to do quite a bit of stuff in education. I'm one of the guys that started with NOVA, the university out in Kirkcaldy, and I'm on their advisory board and so on. And then I looked at some other traditional schools, but it always came to this thing about we couldn't democratize education. It would be all about rebuilding stuff. And, you know, we're trying to get into this world of sustainability. So that didn't work either. And then I just wanted to really keep it flexible and really personalized. So I thought, okay, let me use my two boys as guinea pigs. I didn't take my girl. I left her still. You know, I thought if I mess it up, it's better with the boys. And
they'll forgive you quicker.
Yeah, exactly. So we took the boys on as guinea pigs. And after a while, more parents came up to me and said, Tim, listen, I want to put my kid in your school. Your kids are doing so much. Your kids are loving it. They come to rugby practice and they just, you know, it's unbelievable. They're just happy. They just like, there's no issues. So I said, well, great. So I'm setting up the system. We'll be ready to really take intakes this year. So we started intakes this year as our first year. And now we're just over 200 kids. Okay. And it's really amazing. And what did we do? We sort of did some simple things. Using technology that exists in the world, everything, you know, I just started putting everything together. And what we did is we started Brave Generation Academy, and we decided, okay, we'll have hubs that take up to 30 kids, age 12 to 18, okay, in the same hub. They come through every day. They can come at whatever time they want. We'll have two learning coaches there that are normally like really motivated young people. They've got a degree. We get lots of engineers, architects, etc., that are those learning coaches. We have humanities and we have science and maths, you know, people that are really good at stuff, and we put them into that hub. And then the kids arrive there. They got this platform where everything is recorded. There's nothing that's live, which means they can always just open their laptop and get going. We've got these lessons that are like 25 minutes. They listen to one of our teachers explaining something, or they read something. And then they've got YouTube videos, Cognito videos. And then they do this quiz and they move on to the next lesson if they get 85%. After six lessons, they do a core test on all they've learned. And if that's good, they carry on. If not, they go back and miss what they didn't know. And kids are so empowered. Okay. They can choose the subjects they like. You know, they look at it. And obviously, there's all the core, but there's so many more. There's, you know, we've got space and innovation coming through. We've got sociology, psychology, travel and tourism. And then you've still got all those basic ones. But we're able to do all these other subjects because obviously, you know, we don't have to have a teacher for every like subject because we've got them online. Okay. And that we can have one kid doing one subject in that hub, and that's fine. And then the big thing is the kids that, you know, run it themselves. So they've got these timelines and they know what they have to do. And then every Monday, the learning coach looks at it and works with them and says, okay, you're a bit behind. Yeah. Why? Because I've done more of this. Great. This week I'll catch that up, no problem. But kids that are surfers, we've got champion surfers, skateboarders, we've got footballers, we've got rugby guys, we've got horse riding, golfers, we've got like really top people that have all just found this amazing to get into this, you know. So once they got in, they're super happy because now, you know, if there's waves in the morning, they can go surf in the morning and then come to school at 11, do their work, which is 4 to 5 hours a day. And then still go out and do something else, or do a chess game with another hub, or there's a debate with another hub, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, those little things make big differences. The other big thing is that we don't take holidays. You know, we have holidays 2 weeks at Christmas and 1 week at Easter. But you go on holidays when you want. The rest of the time, our hubs are open. Okay, and once they open, you decide, oh, I'm going to go in February for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or I don't come in on Fridays because, you know, we've got a second home, or we want to like always go explore on a Friday and Saturday, Sunday. That's fine, as long as you keep into your timeline. Then another little thing we've done, which you can't do in traditional schools, is that we can do, you know, exams twice a year, sometimes even three times a year. So you can write in May, November, and Jan. So if something doesn't go well, you can rewrite it. You don't have that anxiety. It's not like, you know, once in your life, you mess it up, you know, you're basically screwed and you all this stress. So we've taken a lot of anxiety from the kids. Also, you know, having these kids from 12 to 18 in the same hub, what happens? You take away a lot of bullying. You take away, you know, you start having a lot more empathy from older kids to younger kids. Younger kids don't mind asking older kids for help. So, you know, the learning coaches mix it up. But they're all in the same boat, you know, so it's also great. And it's a little bit like life, you know, we leave school and then we mixed with all ages, mixed with people from all sides, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what happens there as well. Also, you know, kids that are good at skateboarding start telling others about skateboarding and others try it. Music, a kid will go try music because he's got a friend of his that's doing music. So a lot of peer-to-peer starts to happen, okay? And then we focus on three pillars, you know, the knowledge. So we take the curriculum, which is lower secondary, and our GCSEs and A levels. So we accredited by Cambridge and Pearson. So we've got, you know, something that every university around the world understands is accredited with. So they understand, you know, they take it in. And then we've also done it that we also, you know, accredited with the local Portuguese system. So you can also get, if you want to go to a Portuguese university, you're still able to do, because you've got Nova now that's all in English. You've got Católica now all in English, Technic all in English. So it just makes sense that even, you know, studying in English for the Portuguese universities is worth it. You know, the other thing is that we probably had a 50% ratio of foreigners and locals. So locals have really started taking over into our hubs, and that's why, you know, we've got hubs now in Porto, in Braga, we've got hubs in Cascais, in Lisbon, in Loulé, in Lagos, in Coimbra, in Caldas da Rainha, one opening up in Óbidos, close to you. We've got Santarém, Ericeira, you know, and then also we've opened our first hub in Bellville, Cape Town. We've got Maputo. We've got some hubs opening up now in the US in February and March in Nevada and Daytona. So it's all of a sudden you've got this network, even within ourselves, that you can have friends in different hubs. You can spend time in different hubs. You know, we got people that come from the Argyle for a week on holiday and their kid comes with and comes into our hub, and vice versa. When we go down to the Argyle, I go through. My kids aren't even with me at the moment. This week, they're in Braga. They're spending their time in Braga. So they meet new people. They work with new people. And as I said, so our pillar with knowledge, we cover it with this international British curriculum, but then we work the skills, and the skills we work by having kids like shadowing vets, dentists, architects, entrepreneurs. We're able to, in the local community, put them in. Okay. And then our sport, we don't build tennis courts. We don't have any of that. We connect them with tennis coaches, with golf coaches. The great thing about this is they can go play tennis at 10 in the morning if that's when the coach is available. They can, you know, go to music lessons when there's the music teachers available. So this is what's really nice about it. It just changes the whole system. It just gives it all this personalized education for every kid. It then also changes it that it's super flexible. And then it takes away a lot of these anxieties and that, you know, kids from 12 to 18 go through, and no one's ever actually looked at them and said, we need to improve it, because they're hating their teenagers. And it shouldn't be like that. It should be great teenagers. And it should be when they find their purpose, when they try being something that they think they want to be. And if they don't want to be that, forget about it. Next. And if they find that, well, then again, they've got new skills, and they might even get to 18 years old and have skills. And they might even not even go to university, but they've got skills where they can start working and at least get going, you know. And then everything our school pushes is persistence, resilience, self-drive, you know, responsibility, because in a way you've chosen your subjects. You're choosing your skill sets that you want to follow, et cetera, et cetera. So it's super interesting. It's been really incredible. The growth, you know, we really only focus on keeping the kids happy, but we've understood that that was exactly the right thing to do, because once the kids are happy, you know, the parents are happy, the coaches are happy, and, sure, and that's it. Everything just works. So our mythology or our pediology or whatever you want to call it has really been common sense and practicality. And just using so many things inside our local communities, you know, because we in Sesebe, we in Centre Cultural Belém, which is one of the most amazing buildings in this country. And we've got a hub right in the middle with views over the river in the middle of Lisbon. You know, in Porto, we got views over the Rio Douro. You know, we at the Young Entrepreneurs organization. So that's also amazing. In Braga, we actually inside the library of a Portuguese school. So Portuguese kids now can actually mingle with foreigners and so on, you know. So it's super exciting how it's going. In Lagos, in Lagos, we in the marina overlooking the boats, you know. So it's really exciting how we're busy doing this, and how we see kids just blossoming and the magic happening. When many parents were saying, oh, my kid had no drive, didn't know what he wanted to do. But once he's understood that it's in his hands, the drive comes through. They're incredible, and they get going. So that's what I've been doing. I've basically been waking up thinking BJ and going to sleep thinking BJ. I've got an incredible team around me that has been amazing at getting things going. We've still been, you know, running and putting more people into our team. And where we've made mistakes, we've quickly said, listen, we've made a mistake, we're changing it. And I think even that's good, because, you know, some traditional schools, they will never admit to mistakes, or it's not transparent enough. And because they've got this whole past and traditions, they stick to the past and traditions. You know, we don't. You know, we are sort of like, you know, Elon Musk. You know, like he doesn't have a track record on diesel engines. He's only got a track record on electric. So that's where we're going, you know, and that's what we want to do. So I think it's really been something amazing. It's definitely what I'm 100% focused on now at the moment and for a very long time. The team building around me, it's what they focused on. And, you know, we've got, you know, over 350 now brave parents that have agreed that this is the way they want their kids also to learn, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got kids from every nationality. We've got, you know, from private schools, from public schools joining us. We work on a scholarship program as well. So we normally look at per hub. We look at 15 kids who pay, another 10 kids who can pay, you know, 50%, and 5 kids who can't pay. So we mix it up there as well, because inequality is a big issue, you know. So how do we overcome that? How do we keep this relevant to the community? So we mix it up there as well. And in Africa, we've even got different, you know, our model there is even more giving, you know. So and we are third of the price of an international school already. So it opens up a lot more opportunities for a lot more people, because many students, you know, don't start with the same opportunities, and we're trying to give them those opportunities that at least that's not the reason they don't succeed, you know. So that's what I've been doing, Dylan. It's
awesome. Been busy. Yeah. Is everything in English?
All in English.
Okay.
But, you know, we get kids that join us at 12, 13, 14, who can't speak English that well. And what's great about it is we can even get an outside tutor that assists and puts them going through. But within 3 months, they're going. But it's all in English, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even for Portuguese kids now these days, that's less of an issue, is the language. Oh, yeah. I mean, English is so widely spoken. Yeah.
And we still do Portuguese. We've got Portuguese first and second language. And we also do Portuguese history in the lower
level. So if it's an international kid who's coming to Portugal, they can also, if they want, learn a bit of Portuguese.
Yeah, they can do second language.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then the other question I had for you, I mean, I know you mentioned you've got the two sort of educators per hub. How many students are at the moment enrolled in all of this?
Yeah, so we had 200 students now and going up every day. You know, like today, 3 new students joined. So it's like every day, because you don't have to join us when school finishes. You can join us any day of the year. Because as you arrive, we put you in, you start going, you also go at your own pace. So you could maybe do a year's work in 6 months if that's what you really want to do, you know, or you can take 18 months. But you've gone through it more relaxed, you feel better, you do your exams, you get better marks, et cetera, et cetera. Because there is no, you're 12, you've got to be here. You know, we've got kids that are 12, 13 that have started their RGSEs. So it's amazing because they're there. And we've got some that won't. They're at lower secondary and they will, you know, work and get there, but there's no rush, you know. And that's also something, because you've always got, you know, at traditional schooling, if you don't keep up, you fall behind, and then you actually get worse and worse and you give up and you know, mental block, I hate maths or I hate this or because I just can't get there. This way it doesn't happen. You know, you're going at your own pace. You feel like you're in control, you know. And if your pace is faster, you go faster. If it's slower, it goes slower. Boys sometimes need to go a little bit slower because they take longer to be ready to do the work that girls can do earlier. And that's also okay because we're all different, you know. And I think it's a big difference to traditional education, because it's just almost impossible to get that done there. And then also you mentioned our learning coaches. I was up in Porto this week speaking to the Porto University of Engineering, and I did their whole talk there. And afterwards, you know, I always try to recruit, because those are the people that, you know, they're coming out at 26, 24, 25, and they can identify with students, and they want to be mentors, and they want to help students find their passions, and students know that they know the apps they're talking about. They know they're connected, and they've got energy, you know. So that's what we do, you know. So we're bringing in people with energy to be with our students, and that alone is a game changer, because if, you know, we're able to also see how our hub is doing. Are they doing well in their quizzes? If they're not, we look at why. If it's because of the coach, we're able to change it. You know, we're able to say, okay, we need someone here that's more maths and science and less humanities, etc. So all these kinds of things are able to be done immediately. You know, when we get a new video that's interesting, it gets loaded on immediately. It's not a textbook that takes forever to print and et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, that's what's exciting about this, is that all of a sudden, kids are wanting to come to school. Kids are like, they don't feel dumb anymore, you know, and kids, many times they tell me, it's not like a school. This is like a university. I feel like I'm empowered. I feel like I'm in control. And when you hear that alone, it just makes your day, you know?
Yeah. About that universities. I mean, so this is the equivalent to high school, the Brave Generation Academy. It's not a supplement to high school. It is school. So this is not done alongside going to normal school, right?
No. Okay. This is your school. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then in terms of I know on your website I was looking, it's recognized by like a bunch of universities. You mentioned Nova, but I see on the website it's recognized by a whole bunch of international universities as well. So is that generally the case? I mean, would it be recognized in a normal?
So, Dylan, what we do is we actually are doing a few things that are different in some of the curriculums. But the curriculum we do is your Cambridge and your Pearsons, and you write your RGSEs and you write your A-levels. So you write the exact same exams that every other international school writes. So it's accepted by all these universities.
Awesome.
The only thing is you can write them is in different times of the year. And if you don't do well, you can, you know, wait another 5 months and write it again, you know. And if you didn't do well, you can actually still carry on with your curriculum and then just come back and write your exam. And that's also a big thing because it doesn't stop you and it doesn't, you know, it's not a deterrent to progress, you know. And I think sometimes kids get so overwhelmed with everything that can go wrong if they don't get an opportunity to do anything well. Yeah. So we say, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. You will fail in life. There will be days that you wake up and things just go wrong. If that happens, you'll get another chance. And you know what? Just taking that anxiety away, they already feel better. You know, they're already more motivated, right? And you can also split your year where you do some subjects at one writing, one exam period, and other subjects at another exam period. So that's also great, you know.
Yeah, well, because you could have a student that's a good human being, a good student, a good worker, but they choke at exam time and they screwed for their results. And this prevents that from happening.
And you look at it, you see how many kids are taking anxiety medicine and their depression and this and their suicides. It shouldn't be like that, you know. I think we're testing these kids on what they can remember many times, you know, and when we should be, like you said, how are they? What are their values, their ethics? And this is all the stuff we can really work with them on. And that's why, you know, our learning coaches are so much into that and pushing that. And one day, I think, you know, what you get as a grade will only be about 40% of what a university is looking for. It will be so much more interesting is how you work with your community, how you work with your teammates, because we have peer-to-peer ratings. You know, you also rate your learning coach like an Uber driver, you know. So it's all these kinds of things that
interesting.
All of a sudden, you know, universities look at it and they say, okay, well, these guys are prepared. These guys are okay. And maybe you don't even go to university, like I said, and you just do your Google certification if that's what you want to do, coding, and you've got a job within, you know, 8 months of leaving BGA, or you even do shark coders during BGA, and by the time you're 18, you can actually go work. You've actually got a skill already, you know. So I think things have changed, you know, and as parents, sometimes we've got this, we're still stuck in how we're going to do it, and it's like this and it's like that. You know what? It's not, we don't even know what jobs are coming. We don't even know what skills are needed. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. All we know is we need our kids to be happy, passionate, purpose-driven, and they will be fine in life. You know what I'm saying? And that's it.
Yeah, well, I think if COVID has shown us anything, it's that the world is changing and there is different ways to do things than what we always thought this was the only way. And with education, it's the same thing. It's got to be the same thing. So this is amazing. Congratulations.
Sorry, that's... coffee, a Portugal coffee drink, so they're just making using the coffee machine.
Wonderful. Nothing wrong with a good coffee. I need to have one soon as well. Tim, tell us about the hubs. Where are they? And what was the, I mean, what was the reason for putting the hubs in the locations that you put them?
Yeah, so how we work is we actually get parents that contact us and say, listen, we would love to have a hub over here. And okay. We look at it and we say, can you get us 8 other kids? You know, so we normally look at opening a hub when there's 8 kids. If there's 8 kids, we'll put in a learning coach, we'll get the space, we'll furnish it, we'll put in the platforms, we'll do everything. And it starts that way. And then from 8, it'll go to 10. Once it gets to 12, we get our second learning coach in, and then we're good to go until 25, 30 kids. And that's it. So everything is super simple.
Interesting.
A lot of common sense, you know. So wherever you go live, wherever you are, if you contact us and you can convince a few other kids to start up, we make it happen, you know, and that's the way we like really wanted to democratize this. You know, we didn't want this to become like this thing that it's a gain to promote inequality and all this, and only a few will get these opportunities. No, we looked at it and we said, how do we democratize it by location? How do you democratize it by age, by income, et cetera, et cetera? And how do we give all those the same opportunity to have, you know, to go to Caltech, or to MIT, if that's what they want to do, and they really want to get into that, because they'll do their subjects with us, but then they'll be going to do robotics, and they'll do a whole lot of other stuff if that's really what they want, because we normally then go contact the tertiary educator, ask them what do they need, and we work from back to front and say, okay, these are the subjects, but then they need a lot more than that. They need this, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, and a kid, at least he knows what he needs to do instead of doing it and then saying, oh, now I've got to be an HR manager, you know?
Okay. The one in Caldas, because that's the nearest one to me. Whereabouts is it in Caldas?
Well, now Caldas is a great story. You know, we opened right in the city center.
Oh, cool.
And we had 8 kids who started, and I went through and I spoke to the parents in a picnic area. They made homemade juices and all that, and I didn't even get to drink it because they were all asking questions, and I was like, just ask the request.
That's what happens when you talk too much.
Exactly. And then when I got out of there, we had 8 kids. A week later, we had 14 kids. We're now over 24 kids, and now we're going to Praça das Frutas. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Cool location. Yeah.
Cool location. So
right by it's right by the farmers market.
Yeah. So it's a great awesome. One, great location there. And that's how it works. You know, we're opening the one now in Royal Lobbage, which will be connected with golfing as well. So your kids will be able to, you know, have 6 lessons of golf a week. They're setting up tennis there as well, etc. So that's also interesting. And then also we're busy looking at our first dorms. So we're actually going to have a house out in Qashqai, and for kids that, you know, parents want to send them through, they will sleep there. They will come to BGA. They'll do their sports around there. They'll be looked after with a house master, and that's it. And, you know, again, we don't build these dorms. We don't do any of that. We actually just get really nice place, a house, a pool, et cetera, that kids are at, and then they connect to the BGA, you know. So everything is a little bit different, but, you know, everything prepares him for the future. Everything makes him future-proof, you know, and I think that's what's important for our kids.
Yeah, I like that it's something so fresh and new, but you're still, you know, like you said, you're on the Praça da Fruta. You're still plugged into the community. It's not removing these kids to some resort somewhere where they're never going to connect with the real world, and I think that's amazing. Have you played Royal Obidos?
Yeah. Yeah.
The kids are going to cry there, man. That's a hard course.
It's a tough one.
I lost so many balls on that course.
No one said it would be easy. You know what I'm saying? It is. Okay. No, but you're right about that. You know, for us, community is so important. You know, the more I look at it, you know, we've had kids who didn't know how to catch a train. You know what I'm saying? That's a foreign kid who didn't know how to catch a train. And the Portuguese kids were coming on a train every day. So the Portuguese kids took them and show them how to catch a train, and the kid felt accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So things like that, little things in the community mean so much. You know, we eat the prato dia. So we have prato dia from local restaurants. So the kids can go and they try different foods and they experience it. And the restaurant is glad to see them because, you know, we part of the restaurant. We giving them income. And that's also good. You know, our hubs only have a microwave, a water point, and a fridge. So they don't have kitchenettes. We can't cook there because it was, you can bring lunch in, but if you're going to, you go out and you go eat somewhere. And the kids themselves, they work it out 2-3 times a week. I'll go out. They know where to go, what to eat. And it's great.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. Okay. I mean, this is going to be a question that's going to be like asking you to choose between one of your kids. If you were at school, attending we're talking about this new school, this new awesome school, Berry Generation, and you could choose any hub that exists right now, which one would you go to and why?
Yeah, they're all so different. You know, Coimbra, when you go to the Coimbra one in Espinhal, they give you a chicken. So you get a chicken to start training, A live chicken. So you start training it to sit and so turn cool. And it's, so... Wow, they're different. You know what I'm saying? They really are different. If you're in Qashqai, you've got the horse riding academy ones, that are within the horse. They've got the tennis academy, the horse academy there. And then you've got riding in the city center. What's nice about it is that you can actually, go from one to the other. We've got Nick Robinson, who also does, some YouTubes, etc. Also ex-South African living in the Algarve. And he's going to be actually, his daughter's in...
He's Algarve Addicts, eh?
Yeah, Algarve Addicts. And he's got his daughter in our Lole hub. And he's going to go with her to every hub and do a week at every hub and film it, because he's like falling in love with it. His daughter is falling in love with it. And I think that's what's great about it. It is, they're all different. It's like your fingers on your hands. You need them all. There's different ways of using them. It's different. So which is my favorite? I don't know. If I really have to think about it, maybe I'm going to cut this one off, but I'll lose something special, So I think that's a little bit our hubs. They're all different. We're also working hard that they actually interconnected as well. So there's the debates where you can have debates between the hubs and you've got another hub looking at it. We're setting up chess clubs. It's a lot going on. We've got our radio, Brave Radio, that's being launched, we'll have a radio station that's run by all the hubs, and hubs do interviews and they do podcasts that come onto the radio and then go in as podcasts, and they choose the music. So different hubs will choose different music. So, it's all this kind of stuff that we need the diversity to be stronger. We often, there's African sayings that we need a community to raise our children, but then we don't do that. We actually build walls and we say we don't want the community, we need diversity to get stronger. We need community to grow stronger. So I think that's where we are. Yeah.
Beautiful. That sounds amazing. So you've got Obidos opening next. How many more are you expecting to crop up, or is the sky the limit?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. Look, here in Portugal, we're probably 20, 25, 30, depending on how it's going. But, we've started now opening our first ones in Africa, and it's really going well. We had Eddie Andrews at our launch, Marius Jube at our launch,
nice.
Tondorai. So it's really good that these, they also see the good in this, because it's challenging out there. Education hasn't changed for a long time, and we need it to change. So they're on board. Our Mozambique hub is doing super well. It's got great learning coaches. Carlos is really driven to make it work. And our US ones and Argentina ones, in Argentina, we're looking at opening them up with at rugby clubs, So it's incredible because you look at it and there's clubhouses. They're not used during the week, only used in the evening. Well, it's a hub. That's how it works. We're doing one with KwaZulu-Natal Football Academy. So it's interesting how we're able to think. We've got our first ones that are going in with Sonai, where we're opening in their businesses. We've got DST, the construction company, going into their businesses. So we actually open the hub in their business. So you go to school by going to school with your dad. He goes to work. You go to school. The day he doesn't go, you don't come. The day he goes on holiday, you on holiday. That's the future.
That's awesome. And we've got the infrastructure in Portugal for it. We've got the buildings, we've got the facilities, we've got the internet. It's perfect.
We've actually got the infrastructure almost all around the world. And that's also why we don't have live lessons. So we don't have a problem. Oh, I'm not listening. I can't get connected. It's all easy. We've really made it as easy as possible.
Brilliant. Okay. One last question. I mean, we've spoken a little bit about the stuff that you're doing, and the Spirit of Generation is amazing. We've spoken in the previous episode about all these, you know, the potential that we see in this beautiful country that we've got, and how things can be better. But what are some things that you would not want to change about Portugal?
Now, I wanted to stay human. I really do. I like this thing that people still look at you in the eye, that people want you to taste what they make. They want to show you everything. You know, they're proud. They love their families. I think that's a big thing. You know, like now, Portugal had this big problem of always immigrating, people leaving, you know, and I think now with remote working, we've got Portuguese that now don't need to immigrate. They can work for anyone around the world, but they're still living where they love and where they have their loved ones. So those kind of things, I think, are really incredible. I think safety, you know, geez, you know, like my 12-year-old went with three friends, caught a train ride that's 25 minutes from Cascais to Caixudré, got off Caixudré, caught the ferry, and went to meet their friend for birthday lunch, and had the lunch, came back on the ferry, came back on the train, and they're 12 years old. You know, that is incredible. You might think we shouldn't allow them to do that, but we did have one parent on the end of the train line waiting to see them come out. He missed them, but, you know, it was all good. So I think, you know, those kind of things are special. You know, we constantly compete to be one of the safest countries in the world. I think that's great, you know. I think, you know, that kind of humanity and that kind of respectful life, and I think that's, you know, it's just becoming more and more valuable.
Awesome. Yeah, I think something that, I mean, I suppose it's the optimist, but I think something that I can see evolving here in Portugal is this, you know, moving to the future and changing the way that we do things, but not losing those values that we shouldn't lose, you know, like you said, the humanist, being good to each other, eating good food, slowing down, and those old school values. I think that's what's going
to
be special.
I do want to like find a way to lose weight in this place.
It's not easy in this country.
Damn, it's difficult. Damn, and I do my walks and I do this, but you know what? It's like every time I do a walk, it's an excuse to be able to eat more. So it doesn't work, eh? You know, I don't know. But anyway.
I always find that I do well during the week, and then the weekend comes and I'm back to square one, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, we all have problems in countries, and mine really is that.
It's tough. Listen, if that's the only thing we can complain about, then we're doing okay. So yeah, it's all good. Tim, I want to wrap this up because we've been talking for a while now, but how can people get in touch, follow you online, also find out more about BGA?
Yeah, so on BGA, we at bravegenerationacademy.com, you know, and super easy. Just send us a message through there and you're there. My Instagram is like timviera75, something like that. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well, Tim Viera, if you find me on LinkedIn. And then, you know, if they contact you and they can't any other way contact you, you've got my number, give them my number. That's fine. Okay, so it's super easy. There's no reason you shouldn't be getting in touch. Okay.
I won't give it to ex murderers and
keep it exciting.
Yeah. Okay. We heard it.
And
first.
I'm really good on WhatsApp. So if you do give my number and they drop me a WhatsApp, I'm really good at that. I'm really bad at emails. I haven't had emails for the last 7 years. So, you know, that's not going to be really good. So, so sometimes I still meet someone and says, yeah, Tim, I sent you an email. I'm wondering. Whoa.
Yeah, if we have to send an email, send it to Miriam, not to Tim.
Send it to Miriam.
Exactly.
You're right.
Cool. Tim, a question that we ask all of our guests. Portugal, the simple life. Why?
Yeah, the simple life, because now you can live in this amazing place and you can touch the world. And I think that's amazing. You know, I think that's for me like the best of everything of what we want. The simple life, but you can touch the world, you know? So that's it.
Like it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast again.
Thank you, Dylan. Looking forward to lucky number 3.
Yeah, why not? Let's see how it goes. Tim, I'm going to let you call it.
Yes, the simple life.
No, that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrapper. You see, I had to find a new way of speeding. It didn't work traditional with me. Okay, that's a wrap.
So thank you once again to Tim, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please subscribe, share with your friends, give us a thumbs up, and please leave a comment or a review. We really do love hearing from you. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And as we say in Portugal, te próxima. Welcome to the simple life.